called, hey, Lynn, what's the, yeah, 7-0's called, hey, Lynn, what's the chance of projector? This is a video, 7-minute video that we could show at the end. It's a, yeah, I burn it. It should work on a DVD. If it doesn't, that's fine. We'll just give it up. Okay. This will relate to what we just talked about. Again, Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. I don't know that I've ever done sermons on Sanctity of Human Life because we're usually in a series. We just happen to not be in a series. So we're starting probably a new series in February, as well as our normal Sunday school time. February 7th we'll be starting that. So, by the way, Wednesdays, the next two Wednesdays are going to be kind of work days to get ready for that too. So, all right, so we'll be our second session will be Sunday school hour like we did before Pastor Sean left. So, towards a biblical view of children, how God's truth differs from today's false views. Now you see how these differ from the perspectives even of believers today. And again, it'll overlap what we've talked about some. So there's seven. I've narrowed it down to seven. All right, and again, it's Psalm 127, and we're looking at verses 3 through 5. Let's just pray again. Lord, bless our study. Open our hearts to your goodness and greatness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This is what the Bible says about children, okay? Children are a direct gift from God. That completely changes how we relate to children, just that statement alone. Notice here it says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. Some would argue that it's children belong to the Lord. Either way, it's a statement that children are in the realm of God, not in the realm of man. Okay? Children are a direct gift from the Lord. And it's the idea of heritage. It's an inheritance. It's, by the way, who gives the inheritance? Okay, but let me ask it a different way. Who gives an inheritance? Who determines the inheritance? Yeah, the bequeather, not the recipient. Fair? Does that understand? That's the idea here. Children are of God. We are not the determiners. God is the determiner. He is the bequeather. We are the inheritors. And by the way, it's a gift. Children are a gift. Number two. Children, Lynn, this whiteboard is perfect height. Wherever you're at, thank you for hanging. How is it for the kids in the front row? Can you see that okay? Can you see when I got down here? When I wrote down here?
No?
Okay. We'll have to figure out something. I have to write. That's why I'm writing so high. I want it high enough that I had to tippy-toe, and it's perfect. I have to tippy-toe to get up there. Children are a good gift from God. Now, this is the word heritage. It's already in your notes. It's something that God bequeaths, something that God gives. What is the word here? Yeah. Is that good or bad? Anyone here want a reward? Yeah. You know, if someone loses their wallet, I'll give you a reward. And they're like, oh, no. Is that your response? Help me out here. Is that how you act? Please, no. Reward's a good thing, right? Children are a good thing. not a bad thing. They're a blessing, not a curse. I'm trying to think of the, they're a blessing, not a bane. They're a treasure, not a threat. They're a privilege, not a punishment. What else can you say? I mean, you can go on and on and on. But we always see this. It's funny, but I would say universally in Christian circles, this is how they look at it. They do. And it's like, that is not in Scripture. They have embraced a false teaching. Okay? Children are a good gift from the Lord. They're not a punishment. Number three. We're kind of going fast on some of these because we've kind of hit on these already. What do you think this is? Horseshoes and hanger knees, Bear. Children are weapons for spiritual battle. Help me out here. It says, as arrows are in the hand of a warrior, so are children in the, how does it say it here? So are the children of one's youth. What are you saying? My kids are prickly? So just arrows, those you think of arrows? What's an arrow? What kind of weapon? It's a projectile. It's a deadly one. If people want to impact their world, why are they so keen on not having children when the God says, the God that created the universe says that they are arrows? What are arrows? What kind of weapon? Offensive weapon. If Lynn gets it set up, I'll show you how. This is a short video at the very end. But let me tell you, we have basically given up the battle for failing to even have children in our world. I'll show you this clip. Why? Because we're thinking only of today. Anyone here, took a survey and everyone was intending, not intending, that sounds like you're purposing. You're expecting someday to die. What happens when you die? Who's going to pick up the baton then? See, God is multi-generational. He says that a godly man will be teaching his children's children. He'll be influencing beyond his life. The goal is arrows. What does an arrow do? It reaches beyond your reach, right? Is that true? Huh? You can impact something that you don't have direct contact with. It's true? Is that true? That's what's nice about an arrow. Sing! Yeah, it's far reaching. Children are weapons, and we see them as wearisome hassles. And it's like there's nothing farther from the truth. Children impact beyond yourself. I was in a class. I couldn't tell you what they even teach now in college anymore, but I took a marriage and family counseling class. I don't even know if they have that anymore, whatever. And I was actually throwing some ideas out, not of this passage, but one of the arguments for limiting your family is that it will hinder your ministry. Is that true? Anyone here? See me playing the guitar today? I'm 47 and I still can't play the guitar. You have no idea how many guitars I've owned. There's one at the top of the thing. Was that mine originally? It has no strings on it. I can play that just as good as the other one. I mean, I've had that one for years and years and years. Even in my lifetime, my kids are doing things that I can't do that. I don't even know. I tried. I've learned three or four chords, and then I forget three or four chords. It's easy to forget them. But just the impact. And it's like, how does that limit your ministry? And then even beyond your lifetime, how does that limit your ministry? If you have children and children's children that go on and carry the truth of God forward, how is that hurting the gospel? Pray tell me. One of the challenges that we have had where I worked, I'm done working there and I start a new job tomorrow in other places, we feel like we're playing basketball. How many play basketball at one time in a court on a team? Five, right? Okay, at least from what I've read. Five. We feel like we're playing basketball with two. You know? And I'm also the coach. Okay, so then you just feel overwhelmed. Sometimes we feel like we're playing football, but that's another whole realm, okay? But the idea is, why is that more easy? Doesn't it lighten the load or spread the load or enable the load? The answer is, I think the Hebrew is, uh-huh. I think the Greek is, yeah, or whatever, yeah. Okay, children are weapons for spiritual battle. They're arrows. They extend your reach in influence. They extend your impact in generations. And our society sees it the other way around. They impede my comfort level. They make life less convenient. Now, are those both true of children? Okay, I'm just making sure that my kids aren't different than yours. Okay? Yeah, they're hard work. But as John MacArthur says, anything of value is hard work and takes time. Right? I mean, that's, yes. If it takes no time, it's probably not of any value. Number four. This one's maybe going to catch you off guard a little bit. Children are an early part of one's life. And I key on the word youth, sort of children of one's youth. Now, let me throw this out to you. Jane and I, we went to a pastors and wives kind of pro-marriage thing. Stimulating, not real deep at all. But they threw out some statistics. So here's from memory, I'll tell you. One is divorce is leveling off. Great, you know, it's finally leveling off. But one of the main reasons is people can't afford to get divorced right now. It's expensive to get divorced, you know. Well, but what they said is I'm trying to think of the word, cohabitating has skyrocketed. And marriage has plummeted. Even in Christian circles, for some reason, people don't get married till later. And this is editorial. I'm stepping out into Kevin because I'm not. The Bible anticipates marriage for people. The Bible anticipates children for people and all of that. It's just that's the norm. So it isn't for everyone, but it's for most everyone by normal situations. But for whatever reason, people are not getting married till later in life, okay? And it turns culture upside down. How is that the case? There's no children. I mean, my brother's a CFO of a school system, and the biggest deal is there's not enough kids to keep the money coming into the school districts. I know that sounds funny, but that they have to keep combining school systems and cutting money and all of that because they get paid by the kid. And they keep shrinking. He used to be in Ames, and now he's in West Des Moines. He's been in West Des Moines 5 years or so, but it's just shrinking. They're not children. And so it kills the economy in many ways because there's not people buying stuff because there's less people buying and there's less demand and everything. What else? If people don't get married right away, yeah, family values. Marriage is like is an other thing, okay? Marriage is another. There's no family. There's an independence. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but people that are on their own, not like Ted who lived with five children in house or whatever, he's probably almost like a grandfather now for all he's been through. Not age, Ted. I didn't mean that. It's hard being 19, isn't it? But where was I going? Wasn't Ted. But the idea is that people who aren't married for a long period of time, I don't know if you notice or not, but it's a lot easier to become selfish, self-centered, self-focused. I had a professor at school. I don't know that Ethan would even know him. He hasn't been there for a long time. But I remember he said, my wife and I chose not to have kids because I'm too much of a perfectionist. And I'm like thinking, God's cure for perfectionism is children. It's 100% effective. Jane and I are both perfectionists, or at least we used to be. Can I get an amen here? I mean, I remember sitting in class as young as I was and inexperienced as I was, and I'm like thinking, that's illogical. It's like, what? It just changes your whole perspective. It makes you get up in the middle of the night. Joe, you know all about this. Joe's the second oldest of 11, right? So nothing's new to him. He comes over to our house and he just fits right in. But when I got married and we had kids, I'm like, I had no idea. It's like, it moves. It talks. It sins. I mean, I couldn't believe all of this stuff happened before they were a year old. It's like, honey, they're just like you. That's not true. I was like, man, you little sinner, you're just like your daddy. You know, I just can't believe it. I could tell you a story, but I won't because I'm running out of time here. But people become selfish, self-centered. Not that you have to be, but it's oftentimes the direction. Singleness, according to Scripture, should lead you to wholly dedicated life to the Lord, according to 1 Corinthians. If you don't marry, you are wholly committed to God. That's your other option, okay? And the idea that that's your focus, right? That's what it talks about there. But also then, one thing that it does, and different writers have written about this. Albert Mohler, are you familiar with Al Mohler? He's a president of one of the Southern Baptist seminaries. He's a conservative fella. Doug Phillips has written in this way, but if men don't marry, women are lost. And those are my words, not their words, but it's a kind of a summary statement. It's like gals grow up in desiring, as God would have it, for them to marry, and guys are out there not getting married. I mean, they'll wait 20 or 30 years. They'll date and date and date, and it's like it's just a big kid thing. It's just like they never quite grow up. Men, another thing, anyone here would agree with the idea that marriage, no one's ever ready for marriage? Okay? And marriage helps you get ready for marriage? Okay? Yeah, my wife and I have only been married, we're going on 29 years. We're working on it. We're getting there. A couple of 30, 40 more years, we hope to be able to have something to tell you. You know what I'm saying? But it's like it's not before completely, it's also after. It matures you. I mean, even, and I'll say this, I'll take the liberty to just say this, and I think Joe would say it, marriage has changed you. You're a different man. Just because marriage. It changes your perspective from you, and I'm not saying Joe was in any way selfish, but I look at me too, but I'm saying all of a sudden it's we. I remember when I first got married, it's like I was so used to in the Army, I'd just get up and go somewhere. I was like, there's somebody there at the house. You got to kind of coordinate all of a sudden. I mean, she's not in charge of you, but you kind of got to let her know, you know, kind of discuss what's going on, you know, things like that. But all of a sudden, too, I'm well-fed. Things taste good. And what's this whole clean thing? And it's just, I remember I rented a mobile home in Hinesville, Georgia. It really is called Hinesville. 2-bedroom mobile home. And I told Jane over the phone, I said, sweetheart, I said, it's dirty. So please don't have high expectations. It's a used mobile home. And I had some time before I came out to get married, and I cleaned that place. I was so proud, and it was like, I brought her home, and I don't think I could walk her up the rickety stairs that were in front, you know, carry her up or something, but here it is, and she looks around. I didn't say a word, because I was like, it's like, oh, you cleaned it. She goes, oh, this isn't this bad. I'll have it clean in a week or so. It's like night and day difference. You know, my clean and clean. You know, just it changes everything. But marriage changes you. So it's the early part of one's life. The children of your youth. Okay, the idea of it. I think that by and large, God's plan, just like Adam and Eve, he didn't create them and then have them party selfishly for 50 years and then come together, or 20 years, even 5 years, or even one day. Marriage was his first choice for them. That's his intent, okay? Okay. I've got a black marker somewhere. There's another one because I can't find the other one. Okay. What number are we on, kids? Okay, what number are we going to? Children bring true fulfillment. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it is. We're having dancing lessons after the service today. But any guy that I've ever met that has a boatload of kids is content. The Bible says it'll be that way. It doesn't tell you why. It scratches an itch like nothing else does. I mean, I would say from personal experience, and I'm saying this just as a testimonial, not a master at it. But I'm saying, I don't know what you could give me or offer me or buy me that can increase my happiness level. Now, if you want to buy me something, it might increase my status or my property tax or whatever, but it won't make me any happier. There's a fulfillment that comes with that. And it says here, happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. There's a fulfillment there. And it's like people are pursuing everything in life to be fulfilled and running away from the very thing that God says will fulfill them. I tell people, you know, people find out, it's funny, you know, you're working with different contractors or whatever, or vendors, and it's like, and they find out, you have how many kids? And it takes their breath away. And they're all yours? And, you know, and you go down the list. Yeah, they're all ours. Nine girls, six boys. You know, Esther, Anna, Nathan, you know, go down the list of kids. And it's like, man, your wife must be an amazing woman. You know, it's like, yeah, she is. She's great. But it's not necessarily because she's superwoman. It's because she yields to the Lord. She's the stronger of us too. I mean, as far as just her faith in the Lord. And we're like, we were talking to some of the pastors and wise couples. You know, they find out, you have how many? And it's like, they talk about going places and having to do things with family. It's like, I don't know what it is, but in a family like this, you don't feel like you have to go anywhere. You have everything you need here. I mean, it's different. But there's a fulfillment there. That children bring. And that's what the Bible says. Fulfillment does not come from pursuing externals. It comes from pursuing God's plan. And part of that plan is children. Number six, this ties into it here. Children bring true fulfillment, happy. And it says here, children, this is almost heresy in most places. Children are considered good in large numbers. Did I write that? I did. That's the word large, kids. I know that I read it. Probably the adults can read it. But and notice here. Let's talk about this just for a minute, okay? Children, it says, happy is the man that has his what? Quiver full of them. So there's a qualifier here. That's why I said a boatload of kids, okay? And again, God doesn't give everybody that. But God says, that's good. A large number of children. Happiest of the man who has a quiver full of them. And some of them say, what's the next obvious question that people ask that the Bible doesn't seem to care to answer? Yeah, what's a quiver full? I hear that. And some people, I don't even know, they get, well, it's six. Or it's three. Or it's whatever you choose. That's your quiver full. And I'm like, this is written in a context, right? It's not just a verse. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them is in a context. What does it say? It's still talking about arrows, right? It's still staying on that same metaphor, right? As arrows are in the hand of a what? A warrior. Okay, let's talk about it. What's a quiver full to a warrior? That's what you have to ask. It's not, I remember one guy growing up in Cedar Rapids, a special speaker, was on marriage and family kind of stuff, and he said, you know, I wanted to figure out what the quiverful was. I went and asked some target shooters, and it depends on what you're using it for. And so that determined, you know, so pretty much is whatever you want to use it for is what your quiverful is, and you determine that. And it's like, well, you got the first part right, what you're using it for, but the context tells you what it's thinking you're using it for. What's the quiver for? It's a warrior. Now let me ask you this. You're going to battle. How many arrows? You're going to battle. How many arrows do do you want to take with you? Yeah, as many as you possibly can. It's not a number. It's, I'll take as many as you'll give me. I haven't gone to combat, but the idea is, if you ever go to combat, no, I know I only have this many places for clips, but I got room in my sides, my side pockets, I got room in my front pockets. Just give me all the ammo I can carry. Why? Because we're talking about warfare. And it's, children are a good thing, and it's as many as you can give me. That's the answer. That's the context. It's not somebody trying to scientifically and historically determine what a quiverful is. It's a quiver of a warrior. And by choice, did you hear me? By choice, their choice, I know of no warrior that would go out with one arrow, with two arrows, with four arrows. They'll go out with as many as they can carry. Now, if they're only given one, how many do you have? Not a trick question. One, right? Okay, it's how many you're issued. Okay? That's the idea. So again, it's up to the Lord, not up to us. But it's like, happy as the man has his quiver full. It says, you know what? If you have a lot, you'll be happy. You'll be fulfilled. But it's tied into the number. Okay? The last one here. This one I've already kind of hit on. Children. Broaden and, I put lengthen, but extend is probably a better word, and lengthen our impact. Notice here it says, they will speak with the enemies in the gate. They're taking charge and all of that. And I don't understand it fully, but God says that He gives you children. A lot of people don't want it. Okay? Which, again, seems to be counter what the Bible teaches. Don't want children. They're a good gift. They're weapons. So if you want to influence your society, children is a key area. Children are an early part of one's life. It should be a normal part. Marriage and having children should be a normal part of one's life early on, unless God doesn't want you to get married. Children bring true fulfillment. They make you happy, and that seems to be tied in with the larger numbers. Happy is a man that has his quiver full of them. Ties in with the warrior arrow idea. And children broaden and lengthen our impact. We already talked about it. Arrows extend. There's more to do. They broaden. They can do more and do it beyond your own life. So, Lynn, did you get that? So how are we doing? I don't see a projector. Okay. I just want to show you. It's a 7-minute, 31-second clip. The conclusion is kind of baffling to me, but I want you to just watch it if you would. I'll pull down the slide here. But this has to do with the last point, too. So if you went to the World View Conference, you saw this one at Grace.